Genesis chapter number 50. I get to preach tonight on who I've said is my favorite person in the Bible, Joseph. I battle between Joseph and Elijah. Every time I read about or study Joseph, he becomes my favorite. And every time I read or study about Elijah, then all of a sudden he becomes my favorite. I struggle. I'm like, I have a hard time picking. Anybody else struggle with that when you pick your favorite in the Bible? Is anybody else's favorite Joseph? Is there anybody else? All right, a few of you tonight. All right. Hopefully you like the sermon then, all right? Genesis chapter 50. Let's all stand together. Genesis 50. We'll read one verse. Let's go to verse number 20. It says, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is in the day, this day, to save much people alive." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just, Lord, ask for your guidance tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for the life and testimony and, Lord, the story of Joseph all throughout his life. And, Lord, the character that he had and the testimony that he had, Lord, in his life. And, Lord, I pray that us Christians would look at someone like him and not just think of it as a character in the Bible, but, Lord, as someone who was human just like us, who went through things just like us and endured even some harder things than we ever had to deal with, Lord, but yet maintained being a faithful servant of you and true to you and being pure. And I pray tonight you would help me as I try to glean from this, Lord. I pray to use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My title is very simply, God Meant It for Good. God Meant It for Good. God's providence transforms pain into purpose and tragedy into triumph here in the story of Joseph. And we're going to look at it quite a bit here of Joseph's life. When life doesn't go according to plan, what do you do? Have you ever looked back at a season in your life, heartache, something that didn't go good, and you look back at that, what you thought was your greatest heartache, but you look back and it was your greatest help? You ever had a moment like that? Kind of look back and you think, man, during that time, when I was going through that, man, it was stressful. It was hard. Didn't look like I was ever going to get out of it. And all you could see was the pain during that time. But then you look back and you wonder why you question God. Because you see what he did through that and how he brought you, not only brought you through it, but he strengthened you and you became a better Christian. Joseph, that's the story here of Joseph, a boy with dreams. He was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, forgotten in prison, and finally raised to power in Egypt. I mean, you talk about a roller coaster life. I don't know if any of us can compete with Joseph's life. When we first meet Joseph, in chapter 37, he is only 17 years old, and he's the favorite son. We're not supposed to do that, but he was the favorite son of his dad, wearing a coat of many colors. And he has dreams of greatness, not dreams of arrogance, but his divine revelation. The Bible, God gave him these dreams. And instead of being celebrated by his brothers were envious, they were jealous of him, and they threw him into a pit. Man, I've seen brothers and sisters go at it before. I've seen them fight with each other. But man, I've never seen a brother or a sister throw their sibling into a pit and then sell them into slavery. Right. But that's what happened to Joseph. This is not just some story that you read about. This is a real story that happened. Yeah. Instead of being lifted up, he's thrown down. But by the end of Genesis 50, that's where he starts. But by the end of Genesis 50, those same brothers who betrayed him are bowing before him. Isn't that incredible? And Joseph, instead of taking revenge, says this, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." You see, when life seems out of control, don't remember God's in control. When it seems out of control, God's in control. Joseph's story shows that the hand of God is never idle. Even when it seems his face is hidden at times, God's working in the shadows. God's working in the background. Let's walk through Joseph's journey. He goes from a pit to a palace to a prison back to a palace. That's his story in a nutshell, in a few words. But number one tonight, the providence of God in the pit. The providence of God in the pit. Go to chapter 37, if you will. Back a few chapters to chapter number 37. The providence of God in the pit. Let's go to verse number 23. Chapter 37, verse 23 says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Verse 28 says, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Man, can you think of your youngest child for a moment, if you will? Think of your youngest child. I mean, if you were the youngest, all right? So relate with Joseph for a moment. Your older siblings take you and sell you into slavery, all right? I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen to you. A 17-year-old boy who's just kind of coming into adulthood, and his brothers hate his guts, can't stand him, and he's his father's favorite son. Man, he's taken well care of his dad takes well care of him, and all of a sudden, just like that, he's going to a land he's never been to where bad things could happen to him. And all of a sudden, we're about to find out what God is going to start doing in the life of Joseph. See, up to this point, we don't talk much about his life. There wasn't much to talk about. But all of a sudden, the providence of God, the power of God, all of a sudden starts to come. We start to see things happen in Joseph's life that he never thought could ever happen. First, we see the cruelty of man. His brothers sell him into slavery. They strip him of his coat and that his brothers, that his dad gave him. And his brothers get rid of him. Then we see the control of God. Behind the betrayal, God was quietly working. He was doing something. And the pit that Joseph fell into was not just, it was not a dead end. This was literally the beginning of the story of Joseph that we know. I wrote this down. Every Christian must face a pit before we reach the palace. The pit tests our faith and the palace rewards it. You see, God is going to take you through some tough stuff before he's ever going to use you something great for him. You're never going to be used of God if you can't last through the valleys. How many have been through a valley before? You've been through something tough. Okay, you can be used of God. God's going to use you to do something great because you've been through some things. And guess what? It doesn't just end with one. There may be more on the horizon. There may be more in the future. You don't know what the tomorrow holds. Joseph had no idea that when he put on that coat of many colors, what the hatred of his brothers would completely change the landscape of his life from that moment on. Every Christian must face a pit before he reaches the palace. Even in the darkest hole of your life, God is preparing the next chapter. A story is told of a lady who visited a weaving shop. And inside was a master craftsman working on an enormous tapestry. And when she came in, the only thing she could see was the underside of that loom. A loom is a device used to hold threads in place tightly so that a weaver can, you know, weave and create something, a design out of those threads, something beautiful. But from where she stood, it looked like a bunch of loose threads and chaos and colors going in every which direction. It didn't look like it had any purpose. Didn't look like it had like a plan, a pattern. And the weaver sat there for a little bit and finally looked down at her and he said, would you like to see it from my point of view? She said, yes. And so he turned that loom over so that she could see the other side of it. And when he did and she saw the other side, she went, oh! Because what looked like confusion, what looked like a mess beneath was a masterpiece above. Every dark thread brought depth. Every bright color brought balance. Every knot brought strength. Nothing was wasted. Every thread had a place. And that weaver said something pretty profound to her. He said, you see, ma'am, from the underside, it may look like a mess. But he said, I never lose the pattern. I always know what I'm making. You see, that's the life of Joseph. Joseph, you see, Joseph, from the underside of life, all he could see was the tangled circumstances, the betrayal by his brothers and false accusations and broken promises and being thrown into a dungeon for years. And it all looked like a chaos and mess, and it seemed senseless. But to God, from God's point of view, from the other side of the loom, God was working every thread into his perfect design. Perfect design. What men meant for evil, God was threading for good. God had a plan for everything he was doing in his life. You see, when God, when you can't see what God's doing, when your life feels like it's falling apart, when it seems like it's a tangled mess and full of sorrow and confusion, and you think, where else do I go? Remember the master weaver. He still has the threads, and he's still weaving your story. He's still weaving your story, and someday, when he turns over that tapestry and you're able to see the other side of it, you're going to see that every dark thread was just as important as the bright ones. Because all together they were creating something beautiful. God always has a design and God always has a plan. And when we conform to his plan, something beautiful can be created through that. So not only we see the providence of God in the pit, we see the purity of God's servant in the palace. The purity of God's servant in the palace. Go to chapter 39. Chapter 39, and we'll go to verse number 7. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Boy, a test of temptation all of a sudden enters into his life. He's in the palace. Boy, he's been given an important job. But temptation. You see, Joseph had been through quite a bit. Not too many people would have blamed Joseph for messing up and for sinning. But Joseph's reply was, I might get caught. His reply was, I can't sin against God. I can't sin against God. You see, character is what you are in the dark when no one is looking. How many of you have heard that before? Character is what you are in the dark when no one is looking. Joseph's integrity wasn't situational, it was spiritual. You see, not only did he get tempted, but we see the triumph of integrity. Joseph lost his position, but kept his purity. He lost his freedom, but kept his fellowship with God. You see, it's far better to lose your coat than to lose your character. Man, your character is a... My dad taught me growing up, there's one thing, son, you don't ever want to lose is your character. Your whole life, you should be building your character. Once you built it, if you lose it, it's hard to get it back. Joseph, obviously, he must have heard something similar to that because his character meant a whole lot more to him. His relationship with God meant a whole lot more to them than this temptation. Men in this room, temptations... We're going to get tempted. We have been tempted. The devil won't stop. He's going to keep coming after us with temptations. And he knows, men, what we struggle with. He knows our weaknesses. When no one was looking, Joseph could have sinned. I've seen many great men in my life fall in this area. Many great men. You know what they lost? They lost their character. They lost respect. They lost their testimony. No one looked up to them anymore because they messed up in this area. Imagine if Joseph would have done what many others have done, where many others have messed up. The story ended right here. Tonight, I'll be preaching a completely different message on Joseph than I'm preaching tonight. When Potiphar's wife lied and Joseph was in prison, it may have seemed like obedience didn't pay off. But Charles Spurgeon said this, the darkest cell with God's presence is brighter than any palace without him. Man, we serve a great God. Amen. I don't care. I don't know what sin it is that each and every one of you deal with that you get tempted of. But I promise you, God's way is better than that way. Satan's way is never the answer. He just wants to try to give you a little bit of satisfaction and temptation to satisfy you right now. But I promise you, the end thereof is disaster. Right. Many of you can speak from experience of things that you've done that you wish you didn't do in the past. And you could tell young people here tonight, don't ever do it. I'm telling you. But yet we've got young people all the time that will look at people who have made huge mistakes. And boy, they look like a mess. I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to do a little bit. I'm only going to smoke a little bit. I'm only going to take a little bit of drugs. I'm only going to take a little bit of drinking. Or I'm just going to change a few of my standards. Everything starts with a little. Yeah, I mean, very rarely do you see a kid that's, I'm changing this, I'm changing this, I'm changing this. It's always like they want to justify. Right. I mean, a kid who's completely rebellious wants nothing with God, that's completely different. But we've got young people today that they're trying to mesh the world's ways with God's ways, and I'm just going to dip a little bit into this and a little bit over here. I know the preacher said that, and pastors always taught us that, but I'm not going to go crazy like some of those people. But they don't realize those people started the same exact way. No drug addict ever says, I can't wait till I don't know who I am. I can't wait to wake up completely just strung out. I can't wait to, wake up drunk and be throwing up and everybody hate me and me missing work all the time and my life be a mess and I be a violent mess and beating my wife, beating my kid. Nobody talks like that. Yet young people today will hear story after story after story. And will still make the same exact mistakes. It's like the buffalo. You hear the stories of the Indians back in the day when the buffalo, they take them up to a high cliff. And boy, they would just run them off those cliffs one after another. You would see the last one go and boom, where'd that one go? Oh, it's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. One after another. And you look at them and say, boy, that must be the dumbest animal on earth. But yet, as teenagers, as Christians, we do the same thing. Oh, we may not go out there and kill ourselves like someone else, but we go out there and kill ourselves spiritually. We make the same dumb mistakes that we've already seen other people make. We've got a shining example of somebody in Scripture like Joseph who did it right. Did it right. He stayed pure in the palace. Man, when one of the woman who was the highest up was probably one of the prettiest women there, and she tempted him and said no. Good, strong possibility she could have tempted any man, whoever she wanted. She probably did. I'm sure Joseph wasn't the first one. But Joseph was the one that said no. Joseph was the one who had a relationship with God that was more important to him than whatever she wanted him to do. And I look at Joseph, and I think his dad wasn't there. Mom wasn't there. Grandpa wasn't there. Pastor wasn't there. A long time in my life, the reason I stayed straight, I didn't want to disappoint my dad. Or man, I knew my dad was watching, or my mom was watching, or man, my grandpa, or my grandma. He had none of that. He had God. Brothers that hated him. Nothing. He had him and God. That's all he had. Tonight, it's church family. We've got a whole lot more than Joseph had. Man, we've got a church family. We've got family members here in the church. We are blessed beyond measure. We don't have an excuse. Joseph could have came up with some excuses, but he didn't. The purity of God's servant in the palace. How about number three? The patience of God's servant in the prison. So he goes from the palace to being falsely accused now and gets straight to the prison. Go to chapter 40. Go to chapter 40 and verse number 14. Says, but think on me when it shall be, chapter 40, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Go to verse 23. It says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Man, the pain of being forgotten. Anybody ever left your kids somewhere before? All right. The pain of being forgotten. Man, Brother Young today told me to, hey, don't forget to announce the time change. You know what I forgot? I forgot to announce it. How many of you ever forgot stuff before? How many like? It's just, man, it makes your day. When people forget about you, something important. Wives, do you love it when your husband forgets it's your anniversary or your birthday? It messes with us. Man, when people forget something that's important to us, especially those close to us, hey, those who we've done something special for, and they forget something that, man, did they forget about that? Boy, we get upset. Man, we can let stuff like that in a church, when people forget something important that's important to us, and we think, hey, if it's important to me, it should be important to everybody. Everybody should remember this. And when they don't, man, we get upset. Other brethren, sisters in the church, and just stirs and stirs and stirs and stirs. Why'd they forget? Why'd they forget? Y'all looking like, no, we don't. Yeah, you do. Don't lie. Don't lie tonight. That's another sin, right? Forgetting. Joseph. Interpreting these dreams. I mean, this guy did something incredible for them. Interpreted their dreams, then all of a sudden it came true. How do you forget that? How do you forget that? I mean, if you're Joseph, falsely accused, you shouldn't be in prison, and then you feel like, my escape out of here. Here it is. All right, my man, God gave me this. God told me. Here's the interpretation. It's going to happen. I know it is, because I know how God works, and God already showed me this. So he's like, don't forget about me. And a few verses later, man, he gets out there. Freedom! Let's go! Back, he's back to do what he used to do before. And the butler completely forgets about Joseph down in the dungeon. Man, you talk about an opportunity for Joseph to say, that's it. I'm done. Lord, what is going on? I mean, I'm surrounded by rats and just garbage. Ever clean down here. I'm below the city down here. It stinks. Nothing's ever clean. I've been down here for years. The Bible says he was forgotten for years down there. For years. Pain of being forgotten. When God delays is not because he is idle, but because he is preparing the right time. He's preparing the right time. You've heard the phrase, God's timing is not our timing. His ways are not our ways. Man, that's easy to say, but hard to live. Man, we want those answers right away. Lord, you know I need this, like right now. And he says, no, you don't. Yes, I do. I need money for this. I'm broke. Man, I'm in a lot of debt. Like, we could lose our house. We could lose our car. Like, come on, Lord. No, it's okay. You can wait. I've got something else in store. And those are the tests. Those are the times where it's, if you've been through them in the past, isn't it amazing when you look back at something that in the moment, in the storm, it just was like, you're consumed with it and it's just clouding your mind and it's a horrible time to be in your life. But then when you get to the other side and everything's great, you look back, why was I so stressed out? Why can't I just always trust God in those moments, right? You ever been there? You look back and it just seems so small. But when you're in the moment, man, it's the biggest thing going on. It's the hardest thing going on. I mean, it's like an avalanche coming at you, and it's terrible. And God's just, it's all right. You're going to be okay. Because he knows what's going to happen. He knows the future. And you don't, and I don't. And it's a scary place to be. Joseph didn't know the future. Joseph had no idea. God never gave him a map and said, okay, you're gonna be your dad's favorite son. But then, hey, be prepared. Your brothers aren't going to like that. They're going to hate your guts, and they're going to throw you into a pit, and then they're going to sell you to some really evil people, and you're going to go to a completely foreign country, the enemies, and they're going to do whatever they want with you there, and then you're going to get falsely accused, and then you're going to go to prison for a long time. God never gave him the whole up and down scenario. God never warned him of that. Sometimes we look at a whole story, we read the whole story, and it's easy for us to say, oh, I can see how Joseph did that. Did you live that? Did you live the day-to-day of Joseph? Because I sure didn't. And when I slow down and put on slow-mo and read through that and just, you know, sometimes these verses summarize years and like boom, boom, boom. Right. And it's just years go by just real quick. And we forget to really slow down and realize this is a life we're talking about. This was a man of God who just went through years. Imagine if your life, the trial that for you that lasted 4 or 5 years of your life was summed up in 2 verses. And other people were supposed to read that. Oh, okay. You know, they glanced past it. You have no idea. Do you know what I went through? Let me. You got all the details. I'm sure you do. And you're going to go through all those details, and I could write a book on that 4 or 5 year period. But Joseph's life, if we're not careful, boy, he had something special with God. He had something special with God because he strived to have a relationship with God. He listened to God. He had patience when God told him to have patience. He had patience of God's servant in the prison. And then we see the preparation is waiting and waiting. Every day Joseph waited was another day God was shaping him to handle the weight of authority that was coming. We often want deliverance, instant deliverance, but God wants enduring development. And we want that instant deliverance right away. God says, no, I want an enduring development in your life. I want you to have patience, because if I give you everything right away, you're like a spoiled brat. Right? Are you the type of parent that gives your kid every time they want something, just, there you go, here you go, here you go, here you go? Or are you the type of parent that say, no, you got to earn that. Right. No, you have to wait on that. Amen. God's the same way with us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's going to give you things when He wants to give them to you and when He knows they're best for you. Right. Joseph had pain of being forgotten. Then he had to go through a preparation and waiting. Farmers have to be patient, Brother Josh, right? Farmers plant a seed, and for a while the eye sees nothing happening. But a farmer has to be patient and know, hey, something's going on underground under there. It's going to rise up. It's going to come. And if the farmer is premature and goes and digs up that seed, he's going to mess up what was already going on, what was building. Something's happening in your life that you don't know what's going on. That trial that you're going through, that you may go through someday soon in the future, that heartache, that tough time in your life that you're going to go through if you're not prepared right, there are things going on that He knows, nobody else knows. He has the answers for that nobody else has the answers for. There's a way, and He only knows the way. And if you're not careful, you're going to mess it up. I can name some names of people. A.J. Nichols, who's messed it up before. You messed it up before? Had to learn the hard way? The patience of God's servant in the prison. How about lastly tonight? The power of God's providence in the palace of Pharaoh. Go to verse 41, or chapter 41, and go to verse number 38. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Go to verse 39. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. For that thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Joseph went from waking up in the morning, being a prisoner, and by the evening, he was the prime minister. Man, talk about God just taking him down, boom, back up. It's like, whoa, what's going on? What's today going to be like, Lord? And boom, he goes from being a prisoner, and then a few hours later, I'm the second in the land? What is going on? Like, this is crazy. Like, wake me up. Somebody slap me. Throw some water on me. Am I awake today? Because that was his plan. And Joseph just put his hands back and just said, I'm going to keep myself out of this. I'm just going to stay faithful. I'm going to be used of him in the prison. I'm going to be used of him to do whatever he wants me to do and be faithful. I'm going to have my attitude stay the same. I'll be faithful to him. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know it's good. Even though I've been doubting you a few days down here in the prison, I'm just going to trust you on this one. The Bible says, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Boy, did the tables turn. God's promotion came suddenly, but it wasn't random. God had planned all along. He knew from the beginning when Joseph was put into the pit, he knew where he wanted Joseph to be. We're going to see that right now. There's a reason why God had. So there was a sudden promotion, but then this last part, the saving plan. Joseph's elevation wasn't for his comfort, but for the preservation of life. The Bible says there, in back at chapter 50, verse 20, it says, to save much people alive. Remember that? He said to his brothers, you meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. God saved Joseph's life. God positioned him where he wanted him to be to save many people. What looked like personal tragedy was actually God's plan to save a nation and to preserve the lineage that would bring forth the Messiah. This is I love this part of Joseph. The similarities between him and Jesus Christ is incredible. When Joseph finally stood before his brothers after years of pain, betrayal, and imprisonment, he looked at them through tear-filled eyes and said those famous words, "God meant it unto good." Second in the land. Remember what you said about me? Remember what you did back then? Because I haven't forgot. Woo! Boy, have the tables turned. Now it's my turn. That could have been his answer. Revenge was available at an all-time high for Joseph to do whatever he want, and nobody would have questioned him. Joseph, whatever you want. If you feel like they deserve it, do whatever you want to them. Torture them, whatever you want. It was there. But he said, "You meant it unto evil, but now I can see God meant this unto good. I didn't see it all along the way. Man, there was a lot of ups and downs. Man, I questioned what was going on in my life. I thought, I believed the God that my dad had taught me all growing up, and I believed all those truths that he taught me and the principles, and I had a relationship with God, but man, I didn't see what was going to happen all along the way, and it was hard. Boy, there was some, I went through some depression. Man, but God meant it unto good." Your evil was turned into something incredible. God's plan was bigger than Joseph's comfort. Joseph could have assumed that God's plan was only about him, his dreams, his elevation, his personal destiny. Like, oh man, Joseph could have puffed his chest and just been, "Whoo, I finally arrived." But God's plan wasn't to make Joseph great. It was to use Joseph greatly. He elevated him there for a reason. Not for Joseph to just do something great, but for God to use him greatly. Every hardship Joseph endured wasn't random. It was strategic. His slavery positioned him in Egypt. His integrity placed him in prison. His gift of interpretation promoted him to Pharaoh's palace. And his wisdom preserved a nation from starvation. When God places you where you are, he has a plan and he has a purpose. And he wants to wait to see if you'll be patient. Because if you will, you'll find the answer. I don't know about you, but when I don't know something, when someone comes up to me, "Hey, I was going to tell you, never mind." I shouldn't have told you that, because now some of you are going to do that to me. I said that one time in teen class, and man, that was the biggest mistake I probably ever made as a teenager, or as a youth pastor, because there were a few boys in my youth group, and they would come up to me with like something that just seemed like, man, I wanted to know what they're about to say. "Brother, did you hear? I was going to tell you about, never mind." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Tell me." No, I can't tell you. I'm not supposed to. I'm like, "Why'd you even like let me know that there was something of like there? Like, I wish you just would have never came up to me." Oh, it always would get to me. If that's you today, don't you want to know what God has for your life? Don't you want to get to the end of your life and be able to see what God has in store, what he did through all the ups and downs, the heartaches, the trials that you were questioning him through, that you all, the times when you almost gave up? The Bible doesn't quite tell us, but if Joseph was human, there were times when he almost gave up, humanly speaking. Is it worth it? Been a lot of great Christians that have made it. But they'll tell you, my dad will be the first one to tell you, he didn't always have the best attitude. Boy, he questioned God sometimes. He was upset. Dad tells a story about when he was in the hospital and just one of the worst times that he'd ever been in. He's sitting in the hospital. My dad's arms are all curled up and he's in so much pain, more pain than he's ever been in his life. He was in Mayo Clinic in Reno, Nevada. And he's sitting there and a lady who couldn't talk. Like this, her mouth was all curled up and her hands were all bent up like this and she couldn't hold on to anything. And she grabbed a big old marker that they stuck in her hand right there. They would stick a marker with a yellow pad and she would just put on there, "Are you a Christian?" And then she kind of pushed it over onto his lap. And my dad said I was having the biggest pity party of my life. Man, I was upset at God. Man, I was ticked off and I was just questioning everything God I did so much. I left Wyoming, California, or Wyoming, Cody, Wyoming. And he said, I go to California. Like, God, how much more obedience do I have to have? And now you bring these health crisis into my life, and I'm bedridden, can't move, I'm in so much pain, in Lyme's disease. And that lady said, are you a Christian? He said, I was so ticked off, I just took back, yes. Pushed it back over to her. She put back, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Passed it back over to him. My dad just said, you start weeping and crying. Just, Lord, forgive me. Oh, my goodness. How did I get here? It's okay. If you've done that, it's okay. You are human. It's not okay to stay like that. Man, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm telling you this morning, or tonight, I'm thankful my dad didn't give up. Man, I'm thankful. That was when I was a young boy. I'm thankful he didn't give up. I wouldn't be here today, most likely, if my dad would have given up, when he could have given up. By saving Egypt, he preserved Israel, and by preserving Israel, God preserved the promise of the Messiah. In other words, Joseph's story is a shadow of Christ's story. Both suffered unjustly. Both were rejected by their brethren. Both were exalted to a throne, and both became instruments of salvation. Joseph was sent before his brethren to save their lives by a great deliverance, even as our Lord was sent before us to prepare salvation for his own blood, with his own blood. God's plan reached beyond one man. It was to save a multitude. It was to save a multitude. The third thing we see from this is God's plan turned Joseph's personal sorrow into national salvation. What his brothers meant for evil and to destroy him became the very thing that delivered them. Isn't that crazy? What they meant for evil, all of a sudden now was the brother that was delivering them. Imagine if Joseph had turned bitter, had given up, and got upset and refused to let God help him interpret dreams. If he had given up hope, the entire region could have perished in famine. God knew where he wanted to get Joseph, and if Joseph would have given up all along the way, Joseph would have never been used to save the people from that famine. But because he stayed faithful in the unseen years, God used him visibly in those saving years. It's incredible to see what God did with his life, to see a young man that was taken through so much heartache and turmoil. Can you imagine his dad being his dad, not even knowing your son, thinking your son's dead? Remember, his sons lied to him and told them that an animal killed their brother. And he thought his son was dead, gone. Then all of a sudden, to be able to see his son was not only alive, but was being used of God, second in the land, to save a nation, to save his own family. God's plan mirrors the gospel of Christ. Joseph, listen to this. Joseph's saving plan points us straight to Calvary. Joseph was betrayed for silver, so was Christ. Joseph was falsely accused and condemned, so was Christ. Joseph was raised up to sit beside the highest throne, and so was Christ, exalted to the right hand of God. And Joseph used his power to forgive those who hurt him, the very thing Jesus did for us. My dad said this. I had this written down in my Bible. When I was studying for this, I saw it. He said, in Joseph, we see a dim reflection of the Redeemer to come, one who would turn the malice of men into the mercy of God. He meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, God's saving plan continues in you and me. That plan that started back way back then, it still is available. Every believer has a part in God's redemptive plan. Every one of us. Man, are we being used of him to do anything for God? Are we going to sit on the sidelines, or are we going to be used of him? Sometimes our suffering becomes someone else's salvation. It's amazing how your testimony, God will turn and use to help other people. That in the moment, you would never think God would use your example, your testimony. But it's incredible to see in my own personal life, man, I can testify through my sister's life and through my dad's life, and just seeing how God has used them in front of my very eyes and seeing the heartache and the pain that they have gone through in their life, the ups and downs, when they thought, man, we're past this, we're doing good now, I'm walking, man, I'm great, I'm healed, boom, back down later on in life, ups and downs, and yet through it all, having the joy of the Lord in their life. And then through that, because they stayed faithful, because they didn't give up, because... there's so many times in my life where I see my sister, especially my youngest sister, who's like 7 years younger than me, and I just, as an older brother, I wish I could just take her pain from her. Take it, Lord. I've asked the Lord, Lord, give her pain to me. I don't enjoy seeing my sister on the daily, constantly in pain, all the time. Hey, how are you doing, April? I lost my memory. I've had a migraine for 6 days straight, and she'll name off all the things that she's going through. I haven't been able to walk for about 3 months, or I haven't had any feeling in my legs, and all the things that she's gone through in her life. And yet her testimony has just been faithful. Incredible. But they would never be able to be used of God all around America and the world if they didn't stay faithful. If they did not stay faithful. God can and will use us if we will just allow Him to. If we don't mess up the plan. If we don't quit. Man, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make some decisions that weren't exactly what He wanted you to do. But it's okay, because God can fix those mistakes and get you back on track. He knows the detour to get you back over to where you need to be. He knows the way. And when you're lost and confused, He'll get you back where you need to be. How about we just start trusting the God who meant it for good? How about we start doing that? Next time when you say, well, I'm not going through anything right now. Okay, well, praise the Lord for that. Right now, you're not going through anything. But how about when it comes up? How about when it's down the road? How about a month from now? What if something happens tomorrow that you're not expecting? When that time comes, we just trust God who means it for good. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. When Joseph was in the pit, he only saw the underside of the tapestry. When he was in the Potiphar's house, falsely accused, more tangled threads. When he was in prison, forgotten by men, more dark colors, more knots. But when he stood in Pharaoh's palace, feeding a world in famine, he finally saw what God was weaving all along. Boy, you talk about from when he was 17, man, he gets thrown into a pit. From that moment on, all the way till he's the second highest in the land. All of a sudden, he's able to look back and see what God was doing with his life all along the way. There's a reason why God had him go through that. God was building a man of God. God was taking him through the hard times to prepare him for being second in the land. You sometimes, you ever seen somebody who got promoted in their job too soon? You ever seen that? Oh, man, they're great. Let's promote them. Man, they get up in front, they get in charge of people. What happens? Mess. Chaos. They needed to learn some stuff. They weren't as big of a hotshot like they thought they were. God knows that with us as Christians. He doesn't make that mistake. God will take you through some things. The same God who was in the pit with Joseph is still the God with your problems. He's still that God. I pray that if you're standing in a pit today, or if you're dealing with some heartaches and things along the way right now, I pray and ask you to just trust Him, because if you do and you're patient, someday, like Joseph, you'll be able to say, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Lord, forgive me for my attitude along the way, but thank you for taking me through that. I've met a lot of Christians who have been through some hard things, and the ones that are being used of the Lord now are the ones that will say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You say, what? Yeah. They say thank you for what He brought them through, because you just heard Pastor Ross, he said it numerous times, but he just said it the other day, that he has become so much closer to God through these health problems, and he wouldn't change it. God's been able to use him all over America, because in a way that he was never used before, ever. But now bringing him through cancer, and man, the way God has used him, I don't know about you, but I love his spirit. I mean, I'm his son-in-law, married to his daughter, and we don't ever go to the house and be like, oh, man, all we have to hear about is all of his problems, and it's just like, when are we going to get out of here? I mean, when I bring it up to him, he doesn't like to talk about it. Right. Oh, I'm doing great. I'm okay. A little bit of this and this. And it's just minor to him. It's like, what? That's really bad. Like, what? Are you sure? No, I'm doing good. I'm going to, Idaho to go hunting. He's just kind of, I love how positive our pastor is. We can learn something from that. Kind of hard to get through this life without dealing with some type of disease. If you do, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But man, a lot of people go through a lot of health problems. Let's look at the ones who are handling their situations like Joseph and saying, I don't know why God's putting me through this, but God means it for good. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I know that you're still writing our story. You're still helping us along the way, and we don't see what tomorrow holds, but Lord, we know that you do. And I pray, Lord, that we would just stop trying to take control of everything. Stop putting everything in our own hands and just trusting you along the way, letting you do your perfect will in our life, no matter when it's going great, no matter when we're in the palace or when they're in the pit or when we're in the dungeon, Lord. I pray that we just stay faithful. As a church family, Lord, I pray that when someone is in a pit, when things aren't going as well for somebody, Lord, I pray as a church family that we'd be there for each other, uplift one another, encourage one another, pray, and lift people's names up to you, Lord. I pray that you'd just be with those in our church that are struggling with things, Lord. I pray that they wouldn't give up. Lord, it's always too soon to quit. I pray that tonight, when we look at Joseph's life and the incredible testimony he had from the time he was 17 until the day that he died, a masterpiece of your work and what you did in his life. In Jesus' name.